Well, good morning, everyone. Whoever's watching out there, we're going to get right to things because it is chilly in this building. Just a quick couple of announcements. We do hope to have the heat back on Monday, tomorrow, I guess that would be. So please pray that that happens and we don't run into any snags along the way. We seem to have gotten the building buttoned up so we don't have any freeze-ups or anything, but pray that that continues and pray we're able to get the heat back on tomorrow. We do have men's ministry starting up on February 7th. We do expect youth group and food pantry and all the other things later on the week to be able to happen. But if you would this morning, from your living rooms or den or wherever you're watching, take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 8. Now, I had intended to start a new series last week entitled Prepared to Answer, but as I think most of you know, I was sick with the flu and wasn't able to be here. And I had a nice fancy PowerPoint prepared, some handouts for this new series of messages, and now with the heat out and everyone remote, I'm going to wait another week to begin that series. Instead, this morning, we are going to examine a really fun topic, the topic of leprosy. If you would, read with me from Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 1. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. So again, today we're going to talk about a fun little thing called leprosy. Now, when we read about leprosy in the Bible, we think of a skin disease that today is known as Hansen's disease. But in times past, leprosy was incurable, and it was a death sentence. If you were have to found leprosy, you were no longer allowed to live with healthy people. And you were forced out of the camp, out of the city, out of wherever it was you had resided before while you were healthy. And in the Bible, leprosy included a number of skin conditions that caused the skin to become scaly and white or look raw and diseased. Such fun, what a topic. But if you can imagine, when a leper came upon another person or traveled through a city or was out on the road and somebody was going to pass by, they would have to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And this was to warn others as they approached to stay away, keep their distance. After being diagnosed with leprosy, you are no longer allowed to have contact with any human being, out of fear of infecting them. If a person was suspected of being infected with leprosy, the Old Testament law required that the priest would have the individual quarantined for 7 days. And at the end of that 7-day quarantine, they would come before the priest. And if they were found to have leprosy, they were banished. Now imagine the priest breaking the bad news to the gentleman in our story earlier, our passage that we read earlier. He would say to him, you have leprosy. You're going to die. You must banish yourself from everyone else. Surely the man would have responded, but wait, I have to tell my wife goodbye. And the priest would say, no, you can't do that. It's not possible. You can never see your family again, but I have to give my kids a goodbye hug. No, you cannot. You must right now leave the city, leave the camp, leave the place where healthy people are. You can never touch a healthy person again. And he would have been sent off, left to die in his misery. Leprosy was terrifying in ancient days. It meant isolation, death, loneliness, sadness, pain, and fear. It was a slow and painful death as you lost feeling in the affected parts of your body. Lepers were often blind because of the disease. And in the latter stages of the disease, if you can imagine this, how terrible this would have been, it meant that parts of your body would begin to rot away. Needless to say, no one wanted anything to do with a leper. Because leprosy was such a terrible disease and was a death sentence, God instructed strict regulations for anyone even suspected of having leprosy. Once again, the possibly infected person had to live outside the camp for a week if they were suspected of being sick. Then the priest would meet with them to determine if they were infected. And if they were found to be sick with leprosy, they were no longer allowed to live with the rest of society, but were banished forever. In addition to the fear of catching leprosy, anyone who touched a leper was considered unclean and defiled. The fact that Jesus would reach out and touch a leper would have been absolutely shocking. It would have been stunning to anyone who saw or heard this. But Jesus seems to have made a regular practice of this, and it's an example to us. So why talk about leprosy? Why does God have these stories in the Bible? Why are these accounts there? There's a couple of things that we really have to see. Leprosy, first, though, you have to understand, was seen as a judgment from God upon sin. And in Jewish thought, particularly in regards to speaking evil of someone else, this close association of leprosy with judgment and speaking evil about someone comes from Numbers chapter 12. In Numbers chapter 12, we find Miriam and Aaron, they are upset with Moses. They're upset with the way that they're perceived and treated. And Numbers chapter 12 says, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. There's a bit of jealousy going on here. Miriam and Aaron think they're hot stuff, just like Moses. Verse 2, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? The Bible says, and the Lord heard it. And the Lord was not pleased with what he heard. This was the same sin that Korah and his friends committed when God caused the ground to open up and swallow them whole. And so the Lord called the three of them, Miriam, Aaron, and Moses, to the tent of meeting, and appeared as a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent. And he calls Aaron and Miriam forward, and he said, verse 6, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream, not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him, I speak face to face, mouth to mouth, clearly and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb. Things got real up in the tent of meeting. God judged Miriam with leprosy because she spoke evil of Moses. And so Aaron begins to plead with Moses, and he says, oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten away as he comes out of his mother's womb. And so Moses meets with the Lord. He pleads on Miriam's behalf, and God says that she must be put out of the camp for 7 days, but then the Lord heals her. And so what we have to understand is what leprosy represents. Leprosy is a picture of sin, and it's intended to show us how serious sin is and how it grows from something small to something that destroys us. It's just little white spots. Leprosy begins with little white spots on the infected area. No big deal, nothing to worry about. It's just some dry skin. But leprosy isn't content to stay as little white spots. It grows and grows until nose and ears fall off. Eyes can no longer see, and fingers and toes and hands and feet rot away. In fact, leprosy doesn't stop. It starts very, very small, but it doesn't stop until it kills you. It's the same with sin and why we must avoid it at all costs. One pastor said, leprosy is a picture of the filthiness, the rottenness, the putridity of sin, a picture the devil doesn't want us to see. The enemy presents sin as pleasant, alluring, and enjoyable, and he never shows us the ultimate results of sin. James says in James 1, 14 through 16, but each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. That's the picture of leprosy, and the picture that leprosy gives us of sin. It always starts out rather innocently, just a little white spot, but soon grows and grows, and when fully formed, it brings death. See, we have to understand, alcoholics rarely start out by drinking a 24-pack or a whole bottle of wine. It starts simply with a few too many drinks out with the guys. People don't fall into bed with someone the first time they meet them. An affair begins as a little innocent flirting with a coworker. Addicts don't start out by shoving needles in their veins. Thieves do not often start out by robbing banks. Sin starts small. It begins with a quick glance at a website, a little puff on a joint, just a dabble of witchcraft, a tiny compromise in our standards. Taking a little something that no one will notice, telling a little white lie. Sin always starts small. But once it takes hold, it begins to eat away at a person's soul until it brings forth again death. Again, sin is never content to stay small. And like leprosy, once infected, the infection is difficult to get rid of. Sin is really like a disease, and it's why leprosy is such a fitting picture of sin. It infects, it kills, and it destroys. And so the first thing we see is that the Lord put such strict regulations in the law concerning leprosy because he's instructing us in regards to sin. Leprosy, again, is a spiritual picture and lesson for us on the seriousness of sin and the danger of even little sins because they have the potential to grow deadly. I've said it in the past and I will say it again. We don't take sin seriously enough. I don't take sin seriously enough. When disobeying one commandment about a piece of fruit doomed the entire human race to death, doesn't it suggest that sin should be taken with great seriousness? Again, God, teaching us the spiritual through the natural, says that no one with a skin disease can live in the camp of his people. When God barbecues a pair of priests for offering the wrong fire on the altar, when God causes the ground to swallow up men because they sin by simply speaking against Moses, just maybe he's trying to tell us just how destructive and serious sin is. Sin is deadly. It's more deadly than a cobra. If you were here and I had a cobra and I threw it in your lap, you would treat that with great seriousness because it is deadly. Some of you probably would cry with tears. But as deadly as a cobra is, it can only destroy the body. Sin can destroy the soul. And as tragic as it sounds, these poor souls who were stricken with this terrible disease had to be put out of the camp. A plague could not be allowed to wipe out the entire nation of Israel. And again, it's a fitting picture of sin and how we should treat sin. Sin must be put out of our lives so it does not destroy the soul. At one point, Jesus said to cut off your hand if you can't control it. Pluck out your eyes if they cause you to sin. Somebody asked me the other day, did Jesus really mean that? And I said, well, I'm not telling you to cut your hands off and pluck out your eyes, but it is better to go to heaven missing an eye or a hand than to go to hell whole. And so while we certainly understand Jesus meant that, you know, with great spiritual meaning, it applies to the physical as well. Now hold that thought for a moment. We have many modern day lepers in our society. They are the ones that no one wants to be associated with. Modern day lepers come in many forms in our society, and they are not sick with leprosy, but with some sin, some brokenness, from some terrible event or circumstance in life, and because of this, people reject them. Even the sinful world has people it wants nothing to do with, and it casts them out from society as if they were sick with some disease. There are modern-day lepers cast out from the church. Sometimes we don't like the way somebody looks, and the church, through stares of disapproval, send them running out the door. You know, sometimes people don't smell the greatest. Sometimes people don't really know how to act around others. Some people use language that we don't like. Some people are just simply bad people. Sometimes people are broken by what has been done to them or what they have experienced, and that makes them very, very difficult to be around. Sometimes it is their truly sinful lives that make those of us who are extremely pious want nothing to do with them. We will not have any unclean thing inside the four walls of our church. And you know, we live in challenging times. And on one hand, I understand the reaction that many have toward those who openly sin and do things that we would consider to be gross sin. We live in a world where the church and Christians are no longer isolated away from things that we could once avoid. But the reality is our world has changed greatly in the last few decades. And not only is the church wrestling with these issues and how to deal with situations that would have been unthinkable a few years ago, but society is also wrestling with these things. Things like, what is your policy on transgender bathroom use? How do you react when someone who is homosexual or who has had gender reassignment surgery, what do you do when they want to join your church or come to church? I remember the days when if someone came to church and they were living together and unmarried, they'd be asked to leave immediately. And how do we deal with such issues? Well, let me ask a question. If sin is a disease, and it's a disease of the soul, then where should the infected go? Matthew chapter 9, verses 11 through 13. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." See, somewhere along the way, I think a large part of the church forgot this is what Jesus came to do. Call the sinner, not the righteous. He came to heal mankind of the disease of sin. Somewhere along the way, in the name of holiness, a lot of us forgot this. You see, the church, by and large, saw the example of keeping the camp pure and holy by casting out the sinner, when what the sinner needs is to be in the presence of the healer in church. The principle of casting out sin, first and foremost, is meant for our lives. And it certainly applies to those who do come to faith. Jesus takes us wherever he finds us, but he never leaves us there in that place. Amen? We overlook the fact that Jesus even went to the leper's house and ate dinner with them. Over and over again, Jesus touched people and associated with people that no one else would, because to do so would have made you unclean and ritually defiled. You could not touch a leper in Jewish culture. Jesus did. You could not allow someone like the woman who is hemorrhaging, had the issue of blood. You could not allow her to touch you, but Jesus did. You could not touch a dead body. Jesus did. Jesus hugged the unlovable. Jesus talked with the ones no one wanted to talk to. Jesus ministered to the ones everyone thought were worthless and showed they were worth not only his time and effort, but his love and his life. And here is what we must see and what God laid on my heart to share with you as we look at leprosy. Jesus was not afraid to touch the leper or the one who was unclean. We read it earlier, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Now, Jesus is God, was the one who said in the law to put him out of the camp. He was the one in the law that said no one can touch him, no one can be around him. But not only did Jesus touch the leper, but in Matthew 26, he even went to a leper's house and sat at his table for dinner. Jesus wasn't afraid of the leper. He loved the leper. We need not be afraid of the sinner. Jesus loves the sinner. Sometimes all we can see is the sin, the filthiness, the rottenness, the putridity of their sin or behavior, and not the person. We point fingers, we react in disgust to the nastiness of sin. But you see, under all that gross sin is a person who is broken, who has feelings, a person God wants to see saved from hell, and yes, from their sin, a person that needs love and healing from their sin, just like you and I did. And so we must be careful not to look too far down our noses on the lepers of this world. Because at one point we were in the same place until we felt the touch of Jesus, the healer, when he healed us of our disease. I asked myself the question, why could Jesus touch the leper? If he was the one who commanded them to be cast out, if he was the one who said you cannot touch them, then why did he seemingly break the law? His own law. This is what I believe. Jesus did not break the law in touching the leper. When dealing with the law, you must always look for God's heart in it to truly understand it. And the law was made to protect those who had become sick from the disease. Jesus could lawfully touch the leper because he could not be defiled by that disease. He was the cure for the disease. Just as the grave could not hold a sinless person, could not hold Jesus, leprosy could not touch the healer. The healer was the one who drove out the disease with but a touch of his hand. And therefore, instead of becoming unclean by touching the leper, he made the leper clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And so Jesus doesn't make a show out of the healing. In fact, he only tells the man to go to the priest and offer the sacrifice in the law for someone who had been cleansed from leprosy. Now, this is a bit of a curious thing to do, but Jesus had really good reason to do this. He intended to show the Pharisees a sign. The Pharisees, you see, believed that only the Messiah could bring healing to a leper. You see, because in all of the Old Testament, no Jew apart from Miriam had ever received healing from leprosy under the law. We find that a Gentile received healing, but no Jew. Therefore, they believed healing could only come through the Messiah. And oh, what a fitting picture. Remember, leprosy is a picture of sin. It's a fitting picture, this is, because the law was unable to save from sin. Only the Messiah could save from sin. How sad it was that even in the face of this miracle that the Pharisees believed only the Messiah could accomplish, they still refused to believe. So what is the application for all of this today? Again, leprosy is a picture of sin. And we have many people in our world today that are treated as lepers. Well, I tell you, the church is the hospital where people who are sick with sin come to be healed. We are the ones who have already received our healing, the ones who have been cleansed, who walk in the power of the Spirit of God. We are the ones who are like doctors on a battlefield who are to administer healing to the wounded. When a sinner comes to church, that is a good thing. And we need to be careful how we react. Do we administer love and healing to them? Or do we attack them because of their sin? Now, I want to make it clear. We always need to tell the truth about sin and what sin is. And on one side, you have part of the church that wants nothing to do with these modern day lepers. And then you have another portion of the church that just excuses sin and doesn't address it. And we need to find ourselves in the middle, ready to go and to meet with the lepers, to touch them and to address sin. But there's an interesting pattern that we see when we look at how Jesus does this. He often addressed the needs of the soul and the heart before he addressed the sin problem. Look at the account of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus addressed her need for salvation first. He addressed her need for living water first. And then he addressed the sin in her life. We need to understand what it is we are offering to people. And what we are offering to people is a relationship with the Lord. We're offering them a relationship with the healer, with Dr. Jesus. We often try to address the issues of sin before we ever even mention Jesus to them. And what a mistake it is. Sometimes I wonder, what do we expect sinners to do anyways? What do we expect sinners to do? Sinners do one thing. They do what comes natural. Sinners sin. What reason do they have to abstain from sin until they are saved? Oftentimes, sinners don't even understand that they are sinning. I'll talk with people and they'll say, hey, so-and-so told me I was sinning by doing this. And I'll say, yes. And they're shocked. And so why should we expect sinners to do anything other than sin? But once they believe, once they've been touched by Jesus, once they come into the church, once they receive salvation, then comes the time to address the sin. You see, the leprosy in their lives can never be dealt with until they have met the healer. Then as we administer the Word of God, the Holy Spirit begins to work in their heart, and the sin issue can then be addressed. So I encourage you to see the person underneath the sin who needs the love of God displayed to them, who needs the healing touch of the Lord in their life. And so how do we treat those who are difficult to deal with? How about those who are needy? Do we tire of them quickly? Do we reject them? Do we forget about them? How do we treat those that really need someone in their lives, who really need the presence of the Lord in their lives? Now, certainly boundaries and such are appropriate, but we are called as the church of Jesus Christ to minister to them. Remember, Jesus was not afraid to touch the leper, and neither should we. The church must learn to love the leper, to bring them to the healer, and then begin to address sin. And so as I close this morning, this message is a reminder to know what you are offering people as you evangelize them. You are offering first and foremost every time a relationship with Jesus. Again, addressing sin is certainly a part of that relationship and part of the conversation, but we are bringing Jesus to them first and foremost. Those that are difficult to deal with, those that, you know, we just rather forget about, we are called to minister to them, and we need to do so. But remember, leprosy is also a picture of sin in the life of the believer. It is to be treated with extreme prejudice. And when we find it in our lives, we are to get rid of it so that no sin can be found in us. And it's only when we do this, only as we're healed, only as we're cleansed, only as we begin to move in the power of God's Spirit to walk in His righteousness, then we are able to go and minister healing to others. Again, as I close, there is a world of hurting people out there. There's a world of people out there that everyone has rejected. And like the Lord, we need to go out into the highways and byways to sit down at dinner with them, to not be afraid to hug them and love them and show them that there is a healer, that they can be healed, that they can be cleansed, that there is one that can save them from their sin, that wants to be in a relationship with them. May we go and may we fulfill the mission that we are called to. I pray that through this simple message, God might have spoken to someone's heart today, and that you would reach out and minister the love of Jesus to someone you know. It's cold in here. I'm going to quit talking so I can go get warm. But let's close in prayer together from wherever we're at this morning. Heavenly Father, as your church, your word, Lord, has given us a clear mission. Lord, to go out to minister your gospel, to bring you to the lost and hurting, the lonely, the lepers of this world. God, again, Lord, we've focused on it a couple times already this year, Lord. Lord, help us to fulfill this mission. Help us to fulfill this calling, Lord. Lord, to show your great love to people, Lord. To reach out and to bring them into your kingdom, Lord, into a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, wherever we have that little white spot of sin, Lord, help us to address it, to get it out of our life, Lord, so it will not grow. Lord, we're so thankful for your blood, Lord, because truly only cleansing and healing can come from you. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, for all the ways that you have been good to us and how you've loved us. Lord, be with each one now as we close this service, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you this week.